Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation this day is from the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 17. It is the very familiar story of Jesus or of Moses striking the rock and the water coming out. This morning we think about this, especially in light of the fact that a couple of hours from now we will, as a congregation, be installing Paul Johnson as Director of Outreach and Assimilation in our congregation. I'm going to share with you verses 3 and 4 of this reading again. But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. This past week, a couple of days ago, three days ago, I can't remember exactly which one, I was watching a little bit of news on television, and I saw that they were showing a little clip from a press conference that President Obama was having, and he was talking about important things like Ukraine and things like that in the world. And somehow, somebody started asking him about some movie and about him seeing some new movie that was coming out or whatever. And in the midst of all these questions and everything, the president said, "Well, if I don't get to see it with the preview, I'll watch it on CD later." Some smart aleck reporter from the back of the room said, "Mr. President, I think that's a DVD, not a CD," and the whole room erupted in laughter, and then they repeated this over and over and over again on the news, saying that our president is technologically challenged because he said he was going to watch a movie on CD and not DVD. Now, let me be the first to say that I am not a big fan of many of the political policies of our president. But I also understand that the guy has a huge amount of responsibility. Have you seen a picture of him lately? He looks awful. I can't imagine being responsible to be the leader of the United States at a time where Russia is invading Ukraine. And thinking about every single little decision and how important it all is reminds me of what Paul wrote to Timothy when he said, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Those words that Paul was writing, he was writing about the Roman Empire, and keep that in mind. Roman Empire wasn't pure and clean and gospel proclaiming. And yet Paul still asked Timothy to lead the church at Ephesus to pray for those Roman Empire leaders. And such should be the case for us. But good grief, could you imagine being president of the United States? You couldn't pay me enough to do that job. I know that if I blew my nose as President of the United States, somebody would have something. I was using a wrong color of Kleenex. Could you imagine being such a leader? I think Moses understood that in our text, didn't he? Context was that God had just done amazing things for the people of Israel. You know, this is Exodus chapter 17. You jump back just a few chapters before this in Exodus, and you find that God was leading his people, Israel, out of their slavery in Egypt. And there were all those plagues, the 10 plagues that unfolded, all the way to the last of those plagues, the plague of death that came upon the firstborn there in Egypt. God did amazing things for his people that night. And then as they left Egypt and came up to the banks of the Red Sea and thought that they were caught, then God had Moses stretch out his staff and the water split and the people of Israel walked across on dry ground, and then the waters came crashing down upon the chariots of Egypt. The people of God understood that how much God had been in action for them, so much so that if you take a look just two chapters earlier, and if you have your Bibles open, that's okay. Okay, it's Exodus 15. And there in Exodus 15, Miriam, that's Moses' sister, led the rest of the women of Israel with tambourines and dancing to praise God for the amazing things that they had just seen God do. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. In fact, if everything is going well for your day this day, you might even be willing to grab a tambourine and dance. I wouldn't, because I don't dance, but maybe you would. It's easy to praise God and celebrate when things are going well. Chapter 16 of Exodus. God has Moses lead the people of Israel from the banks of the Red Sea east into the desert of Sin. Now, don't think that means, oh, that's a real evil place, because sin is not an English word here in this text. It's an Arabic word. There's a letter in the Hebrew alphabet that is pronounced sin. But it doesn't mean trespass, iniquity, wrong. It's just a name. So they went off into the desert of Sin. And there, it was a remote and desolate place. A place that was going to demand them, depending upon God's provision. But as soon as life got a little bit tough for those people of Israel, what did they start doing? They started grumbling. Grumble, 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 and grumble some more. It first started with, "We don't have anything to eat. Moses, it would have been better if you had just left us back in Egypt. Because there we had all the food we wanted to eat. And here you've led us out to die without food." So Moses goes before the Lord and says, "You hear what they're saying?" And God moves Moses out in front of the people and there makes his glory shine there to say, "Hey, people, this Moses is my chosen leader. Follow him." And then God makes provision. He brings a quail at night, and he brings manna to rest upon the ground as dew in the morning. And so the people have bread and meat to give them provision for all that they need, even out there in the middle of the wilderness. Kind of reminds us of some words that God does provide for all people, even evil people. So you would have thought, okay, now they've got the plagues and the deliverance from Egypt. Now they've got the Red Sea deliverance. Now they've got the quail and manna that God has given them out in the middle of a desert. They should be set. There shouldn't be any more grumbling. Exodus 17. That's our text for today. They traveled to the region of Rephidim. It's kind of mountainous. But there was no water. They're thirsty. My throat's a little scratchy. It's been 10 minutes since I've had water. God, you don't like us. Moses, we hate you. How quickly we can complain about life because it's a little tough. And so Moses understands that the people are rebelling so wildly against his authority that he knows that they're about ready to stone him. "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? If we're going to die, we'll kill you off first, Moses, because that'll make us feel better." How many of you want to volunteer to be the leader of God's people? Who in the world would want to do that job? It's kind of an important question for us to ask this morning, isn't it, as a congregation? For we have just called Paul Johnson to do just that, to lead God's people. We haven't called Paul Johnson to be some gopher boy for the church to do for the church the things that nobody else in the church wants to do. Although my guess is that somewhere along the line, Paul Johnson probably will have to clean up some throw up just like the rest of us church leaders have had to do. But we haven't called him just to be a gopher boy. We've called him to lead. And we've empowered that leadership by taking the gifts that God has given to his church. And as a church, we've extended a divine call to him. And empowered by that call, he is to lead us. To lead us. We've called him one quarter of his time to use his music and teaching skills within our school ministry to help the children and their families to know Jesus better. And we've called him three quarters of his time to be the director of outreach and assimilation within our congregation outreach, finding new and innovative ways to reach out to our community and world around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ and assimilation, to help those who are gathering here, all of us, to figure out how to use our gifts, how to connect with each other, how to do the Lord's work. And in many ways, that means that Paul is going to have to plow some new ground. Paul is going to have to push this congregation to accept as important some things that we just haven't been willing to prioritize yet. With Moses in mind, I should be calling Paul right now and saying, run for your life! What are you doing? You were retired. You could have golfed your life away. You could have enjoyed green grass and warm breezes. And you're stupid to take a call and to put yourself into the place like Moses did and be the guy that everybody's going to grumble against. Because that's what God's people will do. Paul, sometimes you're going to make some mistakes. Sometimes you're going to fail. And sometimes you may even make all of us fail. Because you aren't perfect. You aren't Superman, Paul. But sometimes, even when you're giving it your all, Mr. Johnson, and you couldn't even hope to do anything more than what you're doing, the people of God are still going to grumble against you. Because that's what we do. We betray our relationship with our loving God, demeaning his provision of blessings for our life, demanding that we are worth more than what God has given to us, and expecting that we can pound our hand and demand that we get more. And if we don't, we will choose to make your life miserable. Because that's what we do. We're a bunch of grumblers, just like the people of Israel. Now, what would it be like if God were like us? If I had been God on that day at Rephidim, how would things have been different? I think I would have rewritten the story a little bit. I can envision in my mind, and I have a vivid imagination, I could envision God sort of reaching down, grabbing Moses by the collar of his robe, kind of picking him up and saying, okay, you're safe now, Moses. Now I'll take care of you, Moses, and who cares about the rest of those grumblers? If I were God, what would happen here at St. John? Maybe there would be little electric probes in your seats this morning. You know, I do like to play around with electricity. I kind of like electrician stuff. There's a little secret button under here. This nasty smell of burnt protein fills the room here. Because that's what y'all deserve. That's what I deserve. Because we grumble against God. And we should have been wiped out many times already because of our grumbling. And yet, The amazing thing about our God is that instead of seeing the consuming fire in the wilderness or lightning bolts sweeping through this sanctuary this morning, God pours out His grace. Psalm 145 says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open up your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing." In this story of Moses and the rock and the water, we see God doing just that. We see God feeding the people of Israel with a bountiful supply of quail and manna in a place where there shouldn't have even been food. And we see God giving them water from a rock. I've already proven that's not easy to do. And though undeserved, God gave it anyway. And that's why we call it grace. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians 10. If you open up in your Bibles to that, that's all right as well. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and following. Paul was referring back to this part in Old Testament history, to the early days of the wilderness wandering as they left Egypt. And Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 10, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." Paul helps us to understand that all of this thing happening back there among the people of Israel was really a type pointing ahead to the reality that we really should pay attention to, and that is Jesus. Jesus is that bread of life. Jesus is that wonderful spiritual drink that we get to drink, and we can't help but think of what takes place at the altar. Jesus is that baptism that we are baptized with. Jesus is that cloud of fire that goes before us to protect us. And all of that happens even amongst a group like the people of Israel that were known most for being a bunch of grumblers. So leaders will lead in the church as long as the church, though, is full of people who still drag along with us the remnants of our sinful natures. The church also will be full of grumblers. And yet the leaders keep on leading. Paul Johnson, it can never be that you will lead us in order to gain accolades. That would be a bad idea for two reasons. One would be that it would be about you, and it can never be about you, Mr. Paul Johnson. But maybe even worse yet, Mr. Paul Johnson, if you lead among us hoping for accolades, you're going to be set up for satanic attack when the grumbling happens. But Paul, you will lead among us as one who constantly points to the grace and riches of our God. The riches and grace of our God that He has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And Paul, you will hold out in front of us all of the opportunities that God has given us to put that grace into action, to be a part of God's mission, saving the world around us by proclaiming the good news of Christ crucified and risen again. And you, Paul, are going to lead us to focus on that grace. Sometimes, Paul, you're going to have to push your shoulder into this congregation and get it to move in a direction it doesn't want to go. It's been that way for 162 years around here. history of this place shows that St. John can be a bit stubborn at times. Nevertheless, God has rescued thousands upon thousands of people through the ministry here at St. John by connecting them by faith with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Paul, it will all be worth it. So Paul Johnson stands duly warned. At least he will be here in another couple hours. But we, God's people, can we pray for a different spirit among us? Lord, we want to celebrate more Your grace than to be those who project our grumbling. Lord, we want to be amazed over and over again with Your great gifts in Jesus. Lord, we want to get involved. Lord, we want to eliminate those financial deficits that are definitely possible for us to eliminate. We want to volunteer for everything. And that we want to do, Lord, because You are a God who delivered Your people out of Egypt through the plague of death upon the firstborn of the people of Egypt. You, O God, are a God who delivered Your people at the Red Sea by allowing them to walk through on dry ground. You, O God, are the God who provided quail and manna to sustain Your people through those wilderness walkings. You, O God, are the God who supplied water out of a rock so that Your people would not die of thirst. You, O God, are the God who gave up Your only Son, Jesus Christ. You, O God, are the God who has graced us, though we grumble. And now, Lord, may Your grace replace our grumbling, that we all may join in lifting up the voice of proclaiming the good news of salvation in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.